The following story is true. The surnames have been changed to protect the innocent. You should recognize that one. When I was a young lad, I lived across the street from a belligerent, miserable bully of a woman. She was by turns manipulative, insolent, insulting, coercive, vipertive, mean, bitter, and petulant. She gave everyone who came near her with offers of help the sharp edge of her tongue and a piece of her mind she could ill afford to lose. Such was Mrs. Chambers. Now, to be fair, she suffered a debilitating illness which left her bedridden for 30 years and in constant pain. So perhaps she could have been excused for having such a vile nature. She, by her attitude and action, drove everyone away from her, and she became public enemy number one in our neighborhood. And so no one in the neighborhood felt that Mrs. Chambers deserved anything but contempt, certainly not care and compassion. She had a long-suffering husband who retired early to take care of her, and a middle-aged daughter who gave up marriage and children to work to pay the expenses. Mr. Chambers installed a summons bell, which rang inside the house when he was inside, and outside the house so he could work in the yard. However, she rang the bell every 15 minutes or so and demanded attention. And so our neighborhood had to endure not only Mrs. Chambers, but the constant ringing of the bell, and it drove many to distraction. Mr. Chambers soon died, and the daughter, Kate, was left with a monumentous decision. Quit work to look after her mother and live in poverty with what little the welfare would pay, or find someone who could look after her mother during the day. Well, she opted for the latter. Arrangements were made, and very soon, early one morning, a little blue Austin drove up with the initials V-O-N on the door and parked in the driveway. V-O-N, the Victorian Order of Nurses, an organization that was one of our earliest home care agencies. Stepping out of the car and into Mrs. Chambers' life was a lady named Grace. Grace Hamilton was a VON nurse who took on the challenge of looking after Mrs. Chambers once in the morning for an hour and a half, and once in the afternoon for an hour and a half. This lady named Grace lived out her name to give undeserved favor and attention to Mrs. Chambers. To make a long and complicated story short, after about 10 months of grace-filled care, miracle of miracles, Mrs. Chambers slowly became a changed person. Gone was the belligerent, self-pitying nature, replaced by a softer, sweeter one. To be sure, Mrs. Chambers sometimes slipped back into her former ways, but never for long. Now, what was said between this lady named Grace and Mrs. Chambers is unknown. But what transpired indicated that Grace had a profound impact on the life of Mrs. Chambers. And three things clearly emerged. This lady named Grace saved Mrs. Chambers, not only from the anger of her neighbors, but also from herself, because she began to change from her old disposition to a kinder, gentler person. Grace's strong arms and gracious demeanor sustained Mrs. Chambers through some of the worst of the pain and suffering. And this lady named Grace taught Mrs. Chambers to extend graciousness to others. In our neighborhood, we all saw and felt that graciousness because Mrs. Chambers began to invite the neighbor ladies, including my mother, one at a time, to have high tea on a Saturday afternoon in her bedroom when the daughter Kate was at home. This ritual was always complete with chinaware, a silver tea service, and biscuits. Mrs. Chambers would then apologize to them for her atrocious behavior, and she tried to make amends as best she could. Such was the impact of this lady named Grace. But now, you see, our Lord also has a lady named Grace at his disposal. The word grace is found in Scripture is a feminine noun. Hence, we can personify her as a lady named Grace. And grace in Scripture defined means undeserved favor. The recipient of grace does not deserve the good they receive, but they receive it simply because it's undeserved. Grace can also be defined as getting what we don't deserve. Now, many people in churches across the world have concluded that they are basically good and decent people who just need a little help from God from time to time. But that is a distorted view of our relationship to God. We, human beings, do not deserve anything good from God at all. But we do deserve the punishment of eternal and physical and spiritual death decreed by God after Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the garden. Like Mrs. Chambers in our neighborhood, we, the human race, have become enemies of God, as the Apostle Paul phrases it in Romans 5:10. And he avers in Ephesians 2:3 that by nature humans have become children of the wrath of God because of our disobedience to God in our attitudes and actions. Listen to how the apostle describes the human condition in relation to God in Romans 3:12-18. Quote, "As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. No one seeks after God. All have turned away. They have become together worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood, and ruin and misery mark their ways. And the way of peace they do not know, because there is no fear of God before their eyes." Now, folks, the apostle isn't talking about some people way over there somewhere that we can't see. He's talking to me, to us, the whole of humanity. Because of our rebellion and unbelief, the Apostle John tells us in John 3, that God's wrath remains on us, and we stand under the condemnation of God. For if Romans 8:1 is true, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The antithesis is also true. There is now condemnation for those not in Christ Jesus. And the condemnation referred to is explicitly understood as the condemnation of God. Now that, folks, is the bad news. And in order for grace to mean anything, we have to understand the bad news. But you see, the Lord doesn't leave it there. Because there is good news. The gospel, the word means good news. And that good news is declared in Scripture, specifically in Ephesians 2. The apostle is emphatic that God is rich in mercy. Let's consider that phrase for just a minute. Rich. It means abundantly wealthy, copiously and increasingly wealthy. And mercy is to have compassion on, to give us, to not give us what we deserve. God, who is rich in mercy, has made us Christians. He's talking to Christians, those who profess the name of Christ. He has made us alive in Christ when we were dead in sin. And he concludes, it is by grace you have been saved. The apostle picks up that theme a few sentences later as he declares, for it is by grace you have been saved by reason of faith. And this is not of yourselves. This is a gift of God, and not by our works, lest anyone should boast. Grace is the gift of God to us. Just as Grace Hamilton was the gift of God to Mrs. Chambers. God's lady named Grace comes to us undeserved. And it comes at God's will and pleasure. As he announces through the Apostle Paul in Romans 9, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. Not everyone gets grace. Some get what they deserve. God's lady named Grace, this undeserved favor, like Mrs. Chambers' lady named Grace, makes a profound impact in the people who receive her. And just like Grace Hamilton's ministry to Mrs. Chambers, God's lady named Grace, this undeserved favor, saves us from God's wrath because of our sin, but also saves us from ourselves, in that as we begin to appropriate this gift of grace, we become slowly a more loving and sweeter person, rather than bitter and antagonistic toward God. Just like Grace Hamilton, who helped sustain Mrs. Chambers in her pain, God's lady named Grace, this undeserved favor, sustains us in our journey through life. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 9:8 states, God is able to make all grace, God is able to make all this undeserved favor to you, abound to you, in order that in all things you have everything you need. We are sustained by this undeserved grace of God. Paul also felt the sustaining grace of God in his own life, as he relates in 2 Corinthians 12. As he battled his thorn in the flesh, as he calls it, he states three times that he pleaded, implored, and beseeched God to remove it. But what was God's answer? My grace, my undeserved favor to you, is sufficient, because my power is made perfect in weakness. As we struggle with our anxiety, our pain, our uncertainty, sickness, and all of the vicissitudes of life, God's lady named Grace, this undeserved favor, sustains us and encourages us, as many of you can attest. Just as Grace Hamilton taught Mrs. Chambers to extend grace to others, that is to say, be gracious to them, God's lady named Grace, this undeserved favor, also teaches us to extend grace, to be gracious to others. From the teaching of Jesus through all of the apostles, 13 times we are told to love one another. And Scripture indicates this love is not a mushy, sentimental, touchy-feely emotion, but it's a love that acts. To love one another in concrete, active ways is to extend grace to each other, as Romans 12 and Ephesians 4 demonstrate. Having received grace from God, this undeserved favor, God's expectation is that we extend it, this undeserved favor, to others. 40 times in the New Testament scriptures, we are told to do positive things for one another, such as forgive one another, teach one another, pray for one another, be patient with one another, which in very essence is to extend grace to each other. And in those 40 times, we are told not to do negative things to each other, such as stop lying to each other, don't be angry with each other, don't envy each other, don't judge each other, which again is in essence to extend grace, to extend undeserved favor to others. It is an instructive time to sit with a concordance and the scriptures and mark out these 40 traits that extend grace, this undeserved favor, to each other. This lady named Grace, this undeserved favor sent to us from the Lord God as a gift, also accomplishes many other tasks, three of which are important enough to mention as I conclude. This lady named Grace, this undeserved favor, teaches us generosity. If you can remember back to Pastor Steve's sermon on July the 21st, when he talked about generosity, he's talking about the gift of grace that allows us to be generous. The apostle relates how this undeserved favor teaches generosity in 2 Corinthians 8, 1-7. He tells us that God gave the Macedonian church grace, the gift of undeserved favor, to give generously to other churches in spite of their extreme poverty and hardship. They were so convicted by this grace, this undeserved favor of God, that they pleaded with him for the privilege of giving. And Paul exhorted the Corinthian church to excel in this grace, this undeserved favor of giving generously to others. Not only this, but this lady named Grace enables our proper speech. In Colossians 4, the apostle exhorts us to have our speech full of grace. In other words, having been dealt graciously by God, our speech must reflect graciousness to others. And finally, this gift of God to us, this lady named Grace, this undeserved favor, enables our individual and collective ministry in the church and in the world. The apostle in Ephesians 4, 7 to 16 teaches that this grace, this undeserved favor to us, is given for the continuing work of the ministry of the church. This grace, this undeserved favor, is indispensable for our ministry because we are called to be gracious people. Well, may all of us through the rest of our lives continue to know intimately this undeserved favor of God, this lady named Grace. Amen.